Good morning, everyone. You know, Cable was here last week. I was out of town with my son, but it sounds like Cable did an incredible job kicking off the series. I have to watch my back. That guy, he's on fire. No, he's wonderful, and I just love when he gets to preach and everything he does around here. And today we're continuing in week two of the series that he kicked off last week. But I need to pause for a moment because John in the video said something that I think is convicting to all of us. John said forever in his faith he was on what? Cruise control. And he said he was just going through the motions. Now, I couldn't just let that slip away because I bet in a room like this, with this many people in a room, if I were going to ask you to raise your hand if you're going through the motions of your faith and not taking it seriously, don't do this, don't. I bet there would be hands, if you were honest, that would go up all over the room. Some of you are getting a little sweaty in the palms right now because you know I'm speaking to you. I thought John was so transparent when he said, for years I was going through the motions and I was on cruise control and I just really wasn't even making a difference. And if I asked you to raise your hand, like I said, that would happen all over. I was reading earlier this week in Revelation chapter 2. And in Revelation 2, John, who penned the words of Revelation, is writing to a church in Ephesus. Now, Jesus is giving him the words to write. It's a prophecy. He's saying, write these things down. And John starts off talking to the church in Ephesus, and he starts, you know, saying all these glowing things about them. There were these false teachers among you, and you figured it out, and you pushed them away. Well done, church in Ephesus. And then he also says there were hard things where you needed to persevere and really, you know, push through the tough things. And he says, well done, church in Ephesus. And then we get to verse 4. Yet, even though all those good things I just spoke about, yet I hold this against you. I never want to hear Jesus say, yet I hold this against you. Do you? Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What is he saying to these Christians? He said, at one time you loved me, you served me, you did whatever I wanted, and then you started making other things your God instead of me. You started getting caught up in the worldly things that were going all around, and you made them more important than you have made me. And Jesus saying, if you do that, you are gone. Essentially, he's saying, I'm going to remove your lampstand. He is saying, you are dead to me. Welcome to church. This is why I think that's so important. And if you thought you would raise your hand because you have put things in front of Jesus in your life, he is writing to you. I am convinced that as we as a church, as Revive Wesleyan, if we get this and understand what's being said and we start to implement it in our lives, we will not be that church. We will have God living in us and through us as we bless the world. So last week, like I said, Cable was up here. And this all ties together because we're going to go from this place. And I'm not going to leave you right there. I'm not going to leave you in this place of saying, oh, I'm hopeless. I have other things in my life ahead of Jesus. We'll get back to that. But last week, Cable had these couple of verses that I need to back up to. And you know this verse, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through what? Me. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Now, you may be even here saying today, yeah, but what about this religion or this way of thinking? It is all fruitless. He is making it very clear there is one way to the Father, and it's only through Jesus. So that's interesting, and Cable had that last week. And then as he wrapped up last week, he mentioned John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. You have to pause there for a moment, because that sounds utterly ridiculous. Jesus, are you saying, essentially, are you promising that us, those of us in the room, will do even greater things in this world than you did, Jesus? Is that what he's saying? It's exactly what he's saying. Have you ever thought about that? That you have the ability to do even greater things than Jesus did when he walked on this earth. That sounds ridiculous. And we're going to spend the rest of our time today telling us how we can wake up so we're not in a slumber, so that we can do even greater things than Jesus did himself. We're going to look intensely at John 14. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. It'll be on the screens. But as I read these words, I want you to let them sink deep into your heart. I want you to find the ways in which John speaks of the Holy Spirit and the impact the Holy Spirit can have on your life and how the Spirit can lead you and guide you. So John chapter 14, starting in verse 15. John starts out writing as he's told, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you for a week, for a month, no, forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him," and we'll come back to this, "for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Listen to this. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me." Just put a pin in that. Remember that. "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the rest of the world?" Listen to this. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and my closest followers, do not be afraid." Now, it's interesting, because that's a whole chunk of scripture, and we're going to walk through that and pick pieces out of it, but it starts off with these four words, "If you love me." Now, remember, Jesus is talking to his closest followers who have been through with him through thick and thin. They saw him walk on water. They saw him face down the Pharisees and call them awful things and to push them away. Not awful, but he convicted them of what they were doing. They saw him feed the masses. They saw him do incredible miracles, cast out demons. They gave up everything to follow him. And Jesus starts off, "If you love me." If I were one of them, I would have been saying, "Of course I love you, Jesus. Look at everything I've done for you. Look at everything I've given up. Look at my life. Of course I love you." And some of you might be thinking the same thing. "Of course I love you, Jesus. I go to church once in a while. Of course I love you, Jesus. I read my Bible when I feel like it. Of course I love you, Jesus. I pray for 5 minutes a day. Of course I love you." Do you see the irony in that? What does Jesus say? "If you love me, keep my commands." If you love me, if you wake up in the morning and your heart is centered on me, if you live your day after day committed to me, you should keep my commands. Whew. Anyone feeling the heat yet? So the logical question that as you hear that, you have to ask yourself, well, what are his commands? If he wants us to keep his commands, if he wants us to really show that we love him by following his commands, what in the world is he talking about? Well, that's easy-ish. You see, Jesus was talking to his disciples, his closest followers, the one who saw everything he did, and they could recall a time when Jesus was in it with a religious leader, and the religious leader was trying to trap Jesus in his own words. And the person asked Jesus, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment?" This is really appropriate for us. So if he says, "If you love me, you will follow my commands," and Jesus told them what the greatest commandment is, I think we might have an answer. In Mark 12, verses 30 through 31, this is what Jesus said. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." What is he saying? Love God with all of who you are, every bit of you, every fiber in your being, love God. But he doesn't end there. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So let's put this together. Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will keep my commands. What is the greatest command? To love God with every bit of who you are, and then to look out at the world and then realize we are to love everybody we see. The world will tell you that some are more worthy of your love than others, right? Let's just be honest. Maybe even politics would tell you your love is, some are more worthy of your love than others, but that is not at all what Jesus said, and anybody who says that is wrong. We're to love everybody we see. Let me frame it this way. If God created all of us in his image, if Jesus came and died for the sins of everybody in the world, do we get to pick or choose who we love? Absolutely not. That's never been the way it is. It's never the way it will be. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Do you see what the command is? If you love me, this is how you will show it, by the way you love God and the way you love the world. So let me ask, come back to us, how are you doing? Do you love God in that way? Where when you wake up in the morning, he's the first thought on your mind. When you go to sleep at night, you drift off into sleep, understanding that God loves you and cares for you. That's what he's asking. Don't be asleep in your faith. So where do we go from there? What does that do? How does this all work next? Let's look at verses 16 through 17. If we love God and by obeying his commands, Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Listen to this. Don't miss this. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Do you see how this works? If we truly love God, we then obey his commands and he will send the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who will be with us, but then he will live in us. That's incredible. I remember the first time I wrestled with this truth. I was like, oh, come on now, that's crazy. You mean Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit comes and he lives in me? Yeah, that's basically what I mean. Are you saying that every thought I have, that he's aware of it? Yep. Oh. Wait. Every time I speak poorly of somebody and I gossip or I slander them, he knows that? Sure does. Every time I'm selfish and put my wants and desires over my parents, every time I'm selfish and put my wants and desires over my kids, every time I complain and try to get my way because I'm miserable inside, he knows all of that? Yeah, he's well aware. Oh my goodness. That is a lot. But that's exactly what the scripture is telling us. That the Spirit of truth, the helper, the Spirit of Jesus, or the counselor comes and resides in our lives when we love and follow Jesus' ways. He's alive and active in your heart. He directs your thoughts and your direction when you allow him to. And he's always present. So let me back up. So if you think you're on cruise control and going through the motions, how does this work? Because if you accept Jesus as Savior, and the two just don't make sense to me. Let me come back here. In Ephesians and 1 Thessalonians, it speaks of, the scripture tells us that we can grieve or quench the power of the Holy Spirit through willful disobedience. That although the Spirit is alive in our hearts, your and my disobedience can squelch the power of the Spirit. When we constantly say, I want things my way, the Burger King, I want it my way right away, right? When we live in that space, we squelch the power of the Holy Spirit because we put our wants and desires above his. And we never truly understand the power that's available to us when we love Jesus with all of our hearts. That's a promise. All of this is a promise. But not only does the Holy Spirit go with you, he is in you. He knows everything about you. The God of the universe who created everything you see loves you so much. And he's present in you. And he still likes you even though he knows what you do. And not only does he like you, he loves you, he's fond of you, he's present with you every day as you walk with him. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to those who love and serve God. And as the Holy Spirit lives in us and speaks through us, we have the ability to change the world. So let me ask again, are you sleeping in your faith. Like the church in Revelation, in Revelation 2, have you lost your first love? Have you let popularity, have you let whatever creep into that place of truly serving Jesus? If you have, you are cheating yourself. And it's people who do this will say, you know, God doesn't make too much of a difference. I read the Bible and it doesn't mean anything to me. You know why? Because the sin in your heart is polluting you and doesn't allow you to experience God in his fullness. All that being true, John then says this in 16:7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. I've always struggled with this verse. Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus was still here? Wouldn't it be awesome if he was standing right here teaching us today and imparting wisdom upon us? You know what? It would be awesome for us, but for people around the world, he could only be in one place at a time. But the Holy Spirit can be all places, all the time, everywhere. That's why it's for our own good that Jesus would ascend into heaven and send his Spirit, because the third person of the Trinity lives in you. Isn't that good news? When you wrap your head around this, it should be life-changing, altering information. It shouldn't be something you say, oh, that's nice, the Holy Spirit lives in me, and go about your normal. No, the Holy Spirit lives in you. I've studied this and looked at this, and as I wrote this, I was still overcome with emotion. Are you kidding me? That's really what happens? And it's better for us that Jesus isn't here and that the Spirit is here. And then John continues, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Oh my goodness. The implications of that are vast. Every time you open the scriptures and you start to read and you start to understand what they say, this is the way I do it. Every time I open, I'm like, Holy Spirit, open my eyes, ears, and heart to what you have for me today. Speak to me, Spirit, through the scriptures. Speak to me what you want me to hear today. Because this, the scriptures, the Bible, is active and alive. It's not just a book like any other book. It's the very words of God. And when you read it and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you all things and to instruct you, he does. That's the beauty of having the Spirit in you. You know what's it's interesting? I've had so many people say to me over time, you know what, Paul? I think the Holy Spirit is telling me to, I've had this one before, walk away from my marriage. I'm like, no, he didn't. You know, Paul, I think the Holy Spirit is telling me it's okay if I continue to engage in this sin because it really doesn't hurt anyone. He never said that. Ever. Ever, ever. Wait, I've got one. Fine, this is good. The Holy Spirit told me, we're in tax season, right? The Holy Spirit told me it's okay to cheat on my taxes. It doesn't hurt anybody. He would never, ever, ever say that. You're going to sacrifice your integrity for a few bucks? He would never say that. The Holy Spirit only speaks truth. The Holy Spirit, what he tells you, always lines up to the words of Scripture. The Holy Spirit, when he speaks to you, speaks blessings and love and direction. He doesn't speak condemnation or hurt or malice. Ever. Ever. But that's the Spirit that lives in us. if you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will send to you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. You can count on it. He will never tell you something outside of what Jesus said. It all will always line up with Scripture. You can guarantee that. He will never tell you to do something sinful or off the wall. That will never happen. If you love me, keep my commands. I will send the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will teach you all things. He always will. So let's go back to the beginning. My friend John said he was on cruise control, going through the motions of his faith. He woke up. And I know John well, and he really woke up. How about you? Have you been going through the motions of your faith? You show up here when it's convenient. Or maybe you're here every week. The average person in America attends a weekend service 1.6 weeks a month. Do you come here and are you on cruise control? I'll tell you what. It's time to wake up. It's time to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's time to say, you know what, God, you know better what I should do than I will ever know on my own. And you promised the Holy Spirit to us in Scripture. And God, use me. Let the Spirit use me. Convict me. Help me to repent of my sins so I can be fully used and walk with you. You know what would happen to Revive if we all did that? This would be different than any place in Western New York. If we all took that seriously, I guarantee it would. And I know a lot of pastors who are doing a lot of good things, and they all want the same thing for their church. If we take this seriously, it will transform you as an individual and us as a family. And we'll be different. This is what I want to do. I want, just for a moment, I want each of you in the silence, Jess will keep playing a little bit. I want you to just, I'll leave a few quiet moments. I just want you to say, God, I have been doing this on my own. If this is you, if you want to commit to this, Holy Spirit, help me get rid of all the sin in my life. Help me to grab a hold of you. I don't want to be on cruise control. I want to be on fire. I want you to use me. If, you know, just take a few minutes. Everybody just sort of pray to yourselves. If you want to pray that, go ahead, and then I'll finish in a moment. So go ahead. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence in this room this morning. Spirit, I pray that you would wake those who are slumbering in their faith to be wide awake, that you would help all of us to shed sin, to confess and repent and turn away from our sin so that we can experience you in our fullness, in your fullness. God, awaken in our hearts what maybe has been asleep for far too long. Help us to love you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then truly love our neighbor as ourself. It sounds easy, but my goodness, isn't that hard? And I pray that we would experience the power of your Spirit in our lives each and every day. Guiding us, directing us, leading us to all good things. Holy Spirit, teach us, instruct us. We love you. We praise you. And I pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to conclude with one song, and it's actually a song based on how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. This has become maybe my favorite song that we do, so don't leave yet. Let's sing this together as our prayer, solidifying what the Lord has done in our hearts today. So why don't you stand with us as we conclude with this song?